Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's an old story. The way I heard it, it goes something like this. Before the days of GPS units, or even MapQuest, a young couple was driving to another state for their vacation. They had taken a wrong turn off the interstate a few miles back and were now trying to navigate their way back. Without a map and without a good sense of direction, they find themselves in a strange town, completely turned around and utterly lost. As they pull up to an intersection, the wife notices an elderly man sitting on a park bench. "Honey, you should ask that man for directions," she says to her husband. Though he would prefer not to lower himself to asking for directions, the young husband relents. "Excuse me, sir," he yells out the window, "can you give us a hand?" "Why, sure, young man," the gentleman says, getting up from the bench. "We have gotten lost. Do you happen to know the quickest way back to the expressway?" "Quickest way, you ask?" "No, I don't know the quickest way," says the old man. "Well, do you know the most direct way?" "Can't say that I do." "Okay. Do you know any way back to the expressway?" "Nope. Don't reckon I know anyway." "Well, do you at least know what direction the expressway is from here?" "No, sonny, I don't know that either." So getting frustrated, the young man then asks, "Well, do you even know what an expressway is?" Can't say I do. I never heard of one," says the elderly gentleman. Totally at wit's end, the young man finally says, "Boy, old timer, you sure do not know much, do ya?" To which the elderly gentleman answers, "Well, I know one thing for sure." "What's that?" shouts the young man. "Well, young man, I know I ain't lost." Okay. Now, I think you've probably heard that old joke before, and if you haven't, I apologize for making you suffer through it. But I was reminded of it, believe it or not, when I read today's gospel lesson. "One thing I do know," says the man who was born blind in verse 25, "that though I was blind, now I see." Like the elderly gentleman in that old joke, the blind man in today's gospel is sure and confident. He cannot be shaken. He is no longer blind. He is no longer lost. In fact, he is completely found. He is in Jesus. We are in the fourth week of Lent, and we are moving ever closer to Holy Week and to the cross. Each week, as we have moved along, we have been traveling out of darkness and into light. 3 weeks ago, we heard of the darkness of the wilderness and how Jesus entered into that wilderness and conquered it for us. We also heard Jesus teach Nicodemus about being born of water and spirit and how God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, so that through his only Son, the world might be saved from eternal darkness. Then last week, we heard how Jesus brought the Samaritan woman out of her own darkness and out of society's rejection, and into the light of his love, how he gave her a purpose, a task, and how she spread his light to many. This week's gospel is another story of darkness and light. Here we have Jesus giving sight to a blind man, literally allowing the light to shine in his eyes for the very first time. You probably already know this, but the only reason we can see at all is because of light. It is light that bounces off of physical matter and reflects onto our corneas, creating the images we see. Without light, there is no sight at all. It is light that defines and gives color and substance to our vision. So while this may be a story of blindness and sight, it is in fact another story of darkness and light. "I am the light of the world," Christ says, and how true this is. It is Christ that defines our lives, and it is Christ who brings substance to our lives. It is Christ who takes us out of our darkness and into his glorious light. So Jesus brings sight to this man, and he does it in a very Jesus way. Unlike a modern optometrist or optician who would use high-tech laser surgery or some kind of implant, Jesus uses two very unlikely resources, mud and spit. And while we would consider these items to be anything but miraculous, our Savior puts them to work for him, opening the eyes of this man who had been blind from birth. It's yet another example of how Jesus takes the very things that our human nature finds common or even worthless and puts them to work for him. Water, word, bread, wine, you, me. Jesus has always worked through simple means, and he continues to do so. Through Jesus, anything or anyone becomes a tool in his mission of bringing light into a sinful world. Now, the Pharisees of Jesus' day and many people of this day and age have a problem with that. It seems they just can't comprehend a Savior who helps rescue sinners and breaks all the rules. The Pharisees were upset that Jesus healed or, in their minds, worked on the Sabbath, the holy day of rest. So they label him a sinner. It's as if they were saying, we want a Messiah who follows our rules and does things the way we want them to be done. Like the lost young man in my opening story, the Pharisees keep peppering the blind man with questions. How did he do it? How can a man who was a sinner do such signs? What do you say about him? Were you really blind from birth? They even call in his parents just to make sure that this man was in fact blind from birth. The reality that Jesus comes to sinners and for sinners to rescue them, to bring them out of darkness and into the light, and that he does it in a way that breaks with ancient traditions, laws, and even common sense, angers the Pharisees and quite honestly frightens them. That Jesus sits with common sinners, the littlest, the lost, and the least, that he eats and drinks with them, and then gives them a role growing his ministry, frightens the Pharisees so much that they cast the blind man out. They excommunicate him. They will have none of him and none of this Jesus. It's not all that different in today's world. We live in a society that continues to tell us that we deserve what we want. It's all about us. Even in some churches today, the focus is more on getting what you want and not what you need. It's a focus on self-fulfillment, self-satisfaction, and quite honestly, self-righteousness. A Jesus that comes to society's unwanted, the despised and outcast. A Jesus who eats and drinks with them is just as difficult to swallow today as it was 2,000 years ago. A Jesus that uses unconventional means, spit, mud, water, word, bread, and wine to deliver his life-giving gifts is just as feared. That is why today many Christians prefer to minimize those gifts, the means of grace. They would rather focus on their own style of Jesus, one who they can manipulate to suit their own needs, a Jesus who shows up when they want him to and works only in the ways they would like him to, a Jesus that doesn't challenge their common sense. But that is not the Jesus of Scripture. It is not the Jesus of today's gospel, and it is not the God of the Old Testament. God has always used physical and tangible means. Be it a bush that burns but is not consumed, a pillar of fire, a pillar of smoke, a gold-plated ark, or the temple himself, God has always put himself in physical, tangible, touchable means so that we humans may come close to him. He does this so we may experience him in its fullness, in his fullness. He put his son into a virgin's womb so that the Son of God may become a son of man and then fulfill all righteousness. And he continues to work this way through water, word, bread, and wine. He continues to use simple, common tools. He uses you, he uses me, and he uses our neighbors. Like the Pharisees, today's world fights against it. How can this be? You can't be serious. How can you believe such things? Aren't all religions basically the same? Don't you know that you're just being foolish? To all these questions, taunts, and lies, we, like the blind man of the gospel and the old gentleman in the opening story, boldly state, one thing I do know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Once I was lost in the darkness of sin, and now I am illuminated by the light of Christ. Once I was lost, now I am found. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 has an answer for the world's taunts. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Through the glorious workings of the Holy Spirit, we have been given faith in the salvation that comes through Christ's all-availing sacrifice on the cross. Through baptism, we have been united in his death as well as in his resurrection. We are no longer lost. We are no longer blind. We are no longer in darkness. We are children of God, and in that we rejoice and sing praise. The critics, doubters, and Pharisees of this world are still living in darkness. They are still blind to the joy and assurance of a life lived in Christ. But they are not to be despised, hated, or ignored. They are to be prayed for and witnessed to. Just as Christ utilized a little bit of wet clay to bring sight to the blind man, he can and he does use us, muddy with sin though we may be. We were, after all, formed from the dusty clay of Eden. Jesus uses us no matter what our age, our education, or our background, whatever that may be. He uses us to pray for the lost and to go out and carry his light to those still in darkness. After the blind man was cast out of the Pharisees' country club, Jesus came back for him. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" he asked. "And who is he?" responds the blind man. "He who is speaking to you," Jesus says. "Lord," confesses the blind man, "I believe." May the light of our Lord Jesus Christ shine brilliantly in each and every one of you here this morning, and not just today, but each day of your life. May we each shine brilliantly and brightly to our neighbors and everyone we meet as we go about our days. And may we, along with the blind man of John's gospel, make the good confession of our belief when we are asked to give it. What do you know? One thing I do know. One thing I know is that while I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. One thing I do know, that once I was blind and now I see. Once I was in darkness, and now I am in the eternal and glorious light of Christ. Once I was lost, now I am found. And that's no joke. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.